Welcome to the Discover Mansfield podcast, featuring interviews with the town of Mansfield's business-friendly team, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and others offering an inside look with keen insight and awareness on how to do business and thrive in one of the most sought-out communities in the Commonwealth.
Welcome to our Discover Mansfield podcast. Today, we focus on the Massachusetts life sciences community, specifically the Mansfield Bio Incubator. The Mansfield Bio Incubator, also referred to as the Boston South Bio Incubator, was established in 2017 with a mission to increase chances for success in nurturing commercial launches of next-generation therapies, diagnostic and research tools, and medical devices. An open concept laboratory and office space facility, the incubator offers up to 300,000 square feet and 63 acres for future expansion. For those of you who have wondered what is inside of the Mansfield Bio Incubator, it offers numerous resources to life sciences startups, including over $1 million of laboratory equipment, backup power, free Wi-Fi, wired internet, 21st century search engine, electronic lab notebook, and secure cloud-based IT services, EHS and hazardous waste disposal services, shared laboratories, flexible space, a BSL-2 and chemistry suite, shared and private office spaces, conference rooms and meeting spaces, a kitchen, and legal, financial, and mentoring services, all valued at over $2 million. Joining us today is a return guest, Dr. Alex Margulis, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Mansfield Bio Incubator. With more than 20 years of science, operations, and business experience, Alex has grown the incubator significantly over the past several years. He has authored dozens of scientific papers, is trained as a cellular and molecular biologist, and has overseen growth and has secured significant funding for the Massachusetts Bio Incubator. He also holds a PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology. Alex, welcome back to our podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Deborah. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to return to your podcast.
Well, we're so happy to have you here, and I'd really like to start by asking you about something that's very exciting. A few weeks ago, the Mansfield Bio Incubator was awarded an $800,000 grant to support growing companies working to innovate and cell and gene therapy, along with 3D culture technology. Alex, tell us, what will this new grant allow you to do?
Yeah, so this new grant will allow us to add more high-end equipment to our incubator. And the overarching goal is to establish a cell and gene therapy mini hub in the southeastern region of Massachusetts to keep up with the advances in cell and gene therapy, as well as the 3D cultures. Both of these areas are near and dear to me because that's where my PhD is at, using the 3D culture system to mimic the disease, such as cancer and asthma. And because there is a push to lower the cost of drug development, as well as reducing the usage of animals, I'm extra motivated to help accomplish these goals.
I think it's really wonderful. And when the grant was announced by the Healey administration, the town of Mansfield responded very favorably. And town manager Kevin Dumas, and I will quote what he said. He said, "We are thrilled that the support needed to grow and accelerate cell and gene therapy has been awarded to Mansfield Bio Incubator in order to further their great work." He also said it is the collaboration with our partners in government, along with other public and private sectors, that make life sciences in Massachusetts thrive. Mansfield remains committed to growing this important sector in the southeast region of the state and is glad to get behind and support this important initiative. This was a very a nice statement made by the Mansfield town manager, Kevin Dumas. And Alex, you know, over the years, how has the town of Mansfield been a good partner to the Bayou Incubator in helping to support its goals and its growth?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad to answer this question. So Kevin Dumas came as a town manager in 2018. And from the get-go, he's been extremely supportive with what we were doing. I would argue it was a game changer with regards to the enthusiasm that I've seen in the community for our organization. And the support has only grown over the years. They've hired Chris McDermott, Director of Economic Development, something that did not exist when we first started our efforts in bringing more life sciences to Southeastern Mass. I can say that analogous to how there's a term called Team Massachusetts, encompassing the government, private companies, as well as trade organizations such as MassBio, Mass Life Science Center, to keep Massachusetts number one in the world in life sciences. Same I can say about building a team Southeastern Massachusetts to develop life sciences in our area. And certainly, town of Mansfield is an integral part of Team Southeastern Massachusetts. And obviously, it's not just them. It's also local colleges such as Wheaton College, which certainly is committed to supporting us. Along with, we'd like to bring more larger private companies in the area, such as Thermo Fisher, Alnylam, et cetera, to be part of the team. But obviously, you have to bring these partners strategically and at the defined sequence so that all the stakeholders are happy and feel fulfilled.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you really think about that whole partnership, it's really the strength of that public-private partnership and all of the members coming together to strengthen the goals and objectives and the results of what you're trying to do. And as you said, you know, the town has been a tremendous partner. You've got the collegiate community that's been exceptional, and you've really developed a great partnership ecosystem to support the incubator. And, you know, just how do you feel your local legislative leaders have also supported the Mansfield Bio Incubator?
They've been extremely supportive, especially Senator Feeney, U.S. House Rep Jake Auchincloss, along with State Reps Jay Barrows, Adam Scanlon, and Ted Phillips. They are all very enthusiastic about what we are doing and with what we had done. And they've attended our open houses, the grand opening in 2022. And this partnership will only continue. And we look forward to hosting them again sometime this year. And I want to also add, the support of the immediate local reps is what's essential right now, because we're positioning the center of the hub in Southeastern Mass. As we grow, we look forward to engaging the elected officials as well as the town managers in the town's north, south, east, and west of Mansfield.
It's really remarkable, Alex, what you've been able to accomplish in such a short period of time. And I remember years ago when you first started this initiative, how many goals and your vision for the future. And step by step, you're accomplishing all of it and probably beyond. And it's wonderful that you have so many partners supporting it. But there's always a lot going on at the incubator, and we all know it's your, you know, your vision driving this. And recently you shared news that you've expanded your leadership team with two pharma veterans, which is really exciting, including Julia Rashaba Stepp, who is a PhD, and also Alex Shilinskevich, a PhD.
Shilinskevich.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for that. Can you please tell us more about each of them individually and what roles they're going to play for you at the incubator?
Yes, to preface, that became possible thanks to the federal EDA grant we received in partnership with SERPED, which is the Regional Economic Development Agency. These funds allowed us to hire these two exceptional individuals. Julia has experience working for large companies like Pfizer, as well as the smaller organizations, and she's been part of the various mentor programs such as related to the industry, for example, Mass Connect. And that experience that she possesses allows her to be an exceptional builder of our mentoring program, because what we aim to do is we aim to help the startups that are at the incubator, as well as attract newer members, grow faster. To do that, mentorship is a key.
Yeah, I can see how she'd be a tremendous asset to those startups with her experience.
Yeah. And with regards to Alex Shilinskevich, he also had experience in big pharma such as Moderna. He also has lots of experience in investing because he is an investor himself. So what that allows to do is it allows our startups to gain the perspective from the investor's side. And he also leverages his experience to organize the pitching competition. Our inaugural pitch competition will occur on May 21st, 2024, where about 10 to 15 startups will pitch in front of investors, and we also have an opportunity to win the prizes of $20, $12, and $8,000. And just to add, and I forgot to say that about Julia Rashaba Stepp, so she's already successfully started a spring cohort. Currently, it only has three companies, but as you can imagine, it takes some time to ramp up an activity such as mentoring. And I feel like given the short time she's been here, I have nothing but praise regarding how things went. And I'd be more than happy to share the relevant information if anybody wants either to participate in the mentor program or participate in the pitch competition.
Yeah, that's just fantastic. Truly, you know, these appointments were highly strategic with their expertise, and what an incredible value to those companies who are starting out or currently within the incubator to have the resources that both of them provide, both on the mentorship side and also on the investment strategy side. So, you know, you're constantly building additional resources and assets to really bring these companies that you have coming in to the next level. And, you know, I think it's a perfect segue to talk about some of those organizations within your bio incubator who have really started to do amazing things that are going to significantly, revolutionize the life sciences industry. And one of those companies that I was thinking of, Alex, was Stepgen, with their focus on type 2 diabetes, and then also Aclarity, who we had on a podcast previously, with their incredible program of PFAS destruction, along with other recent successes. So can you tell us, you know, what recent innovations have come out of those companies. Very interested in hearing more about StepGen's focus on type 2 diabetes. And maybe you can touch a little bit upon Aclarity for those people who did not hear our previous podcast.
StepGen addresses a unique challenge in terms of being able to predict up to 5 years in advance with regards to an individual becoming diabetic. That's an innovation that's desperately needed. And in fact, they're currently looking to raise money to address this intractable challenge. And I'm a strong believer that if successful, the savings, the healthcare savings will be just astronomical. I would even argue it may dent unsustainable government debt in this country, but not only in this country, throughout the world, as the population ages and their diets becoming more westernized with lots of sugar and other additives, that the innovation's potential to improve the quality of life and saving money is just, I can't comprehend.
Alex, I would like to ask you a question about that. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Francis Collins speak on, you know, what the government was hoping with regards to the future of all different kinds of health ailments. And one of the things that he said at this conference was that he believed that we were very close to finding a cure for type 2 diabetes. And I don't know whether you can answer this question or not, but it seems like having the ability to predict whether or not someone is going to, who could potentially have type 2 diabetes, and especially up to 5 years in advance, does this mean that there is a potential that they could prevent it? And so that they, you know, that we could eventually do our best to have less people in the country or throughout the world with type 2 diabetes?
Of course, that's the ultimate goal. Obviously, it's not an easy problem to solve and would require a significant amount of research. I would say I wouldn't be the best person to answer that question affirmatively. What I just said is simply based on the logic that's based on the logical thinking.
Yeah.
With that said, I could ask StepGen if they'd like to be on your podcast. I'm sure they might answer that question better than me.
I think that would be a perfect follow-up podcast because that is just so revolutionary, and I'm sure that the folks listening to our podcast would love to hear more from them. So yes, thank you. And so let's talk a little bit about Aclarity. So tell us about what they're doing, what their innovations are, and how they're transforming the world with their I don't want to say eradication, but their destruction of PFAS. PFSA.
PFAS. So what I can say is that, again, I know that Aclarity had been on your podcast. I'm sure they could answer that question better. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't realize how pervasive the use of PFAS is, not only in this country, but throughout the world. And I would say multiple approaches are required to destroy PFAS. And I'm simply amazed with the rate Aclarity grew at our incubator. I recall when they joined our incubator, they only had barely had two people. They rented a bench, and they rented, and they had to use a shared chemical hood. It became apparent very quickly that at the rate that they are growing, they absolutely required their own chemical hood and their own private space. We are very glad to have that opportunity for them. And I've seen them adding people at the rapid clip. They brought our incubator at the forefront. They enhanced our visibility by a lot. We in turn are uniquely positioned to providing them ample space to store their reactor that they use the electrolytic method, I believe, electrochemical method, I believe, to destroy PFAS, which obviously in an urbanized setting, keeping a trailer on the back of the building is would pose some challenges. We're fortunate that at this point, the site we're at could use a lot more development. I have nothing but admiration to what they are doing. In fact, they've been recognized by Time Magazine, and something that I just found out today. At this point, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I can't even keep track of the amount of recognition they received. It seems like they receive the recognition almost every other week. But, yeah. And I know, having seen them as the incubator, they're dynamic, they're enthusiastic, they really take care of the employees. Truly, we've never had a company like that at our incubator.
That's pretty amazing. And, they're just an amazing company. And they're going to, I'm sure, as you said, they're being recognized regularly, and the best is yet to come for them. So it's so exciting. And, both StepGen and Acuity are almost a microcosm of what is happening at the incubator. And I'm sure there are numerous other startups that are accomplishing great things or on the brink of accomplishing great things. And we would love to for you to keep us informed of those innovations and to have you back to talk about them, and then also to interview some of those companies so that we can educate the public as to what these great things are that are happening at the Mansfield Bio Incubator. So we very much look forward to that. Alex, you are a leading force in the industry. And a few weeks ago, you spoke at an industry conference in Boston. And I was hoping that you would share with our listeners what that conference was, what it was all about, and what were you speaking of in your lecture? So tell us more about that.
So I probably should have corrected you. I haven't spoken at that conference yet. I will be speaking at the it's a BizNow Boston Life Science Conference, and I will be speaking at the conference on March 28th. And what I will address on the panel that I'm at is how lab spaces can accommodate to small startups. Because one has to keep in mind, to succeed, a startup not only has to have a lab space, the startup also has to have access to the talent that would be willing to work with the startups. So obviously, there are two schools of thought in this regard. Some companies say, nobody wants to work in life sciences unless the company is in Cambridge. That's one school of thought. Another school of thought is it's not exactly true. Many employees or prospective employees live outside of Boston, Cambridge, because obviously Cambridge and Boston has become unaffordable. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, the infrastructure, I'm talking about the roads, I'm talking about the soil, I'm talking about electrical grid, I'm talking about, sewer grid, they are not built to accommodate as much economic activity, especially as energy intensive and water intensive as life sciences. not to mention that our T system is hopelessly antiquated and would require years and billions of dollars to be brought to the standards that we want the system to be in. So with that said, what that also results, it results in some companies who want to establish their presence in Massachusetts. They would say, we'd love to be here, but the cost of doing business is just not something that we can afford. So what the state has been doing, and we are part of the Team Massachusetts, is to lengthen the lead. They recognize the need of having more mini clusters outside of Boston and Cambridge, such as Mansfield. So what I'm going to be talking about is exactly that not all the talent living in the area is willing to commute to Cambridge. And ultimately, the decision whether or not a given employee will be working for a company in Mansfield versus Cambridge, I'm a believer that it comes down to what the company is, what the company is doing, and how attractive is the compensation package, how good of a culture the company has, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I don't need to search too hard for the example. Acclarity is one example. They have no problem hiring people, and it's plain to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope
that answers their question.
It does. And I think that, you know, the whole life sciences ecosystem in our state, in Massachusetts, has really grown geographically outside of Cambridge, which is phenomenal because people can choose different qualities of life, whether they want to be in urban or suburban. Certainly the transportation system is offering numerous ways of connectivity, which makes it much easier for people even living in the suburbs, going into the city, living in the city, going out to the suburbs. But I think it's great to share that perspective with the community that it's not all happening in Cambridge. And as you said, you know, Acclarity is a perfect example of that. And it is the company that will woo those talented folks to that organization. And, you know, as you talk about it, it really makes me think about the future of life sciences, you know, and as you think about it, you know, we look towards the future. What do you see on the horizon for the Massachusetts life sciences sector, broad scope? You know, if you could just sort of like tell us broadly, what do you see on the horizon? What would it be?
Oh, absolutely. Now, obviously, there are life sciences encompasses multiple different disciplines, including your traditional biotech, pharma, med devices, but also clean tech, also the impact of AI and other computation technologies. And what I feel is going to happen is that all these disciplines, the lines between these disciplines will be increasingly blurred. So, because, for example, if you want to resolve the most pressing concerns of our times, the climate change, there are ways to make the drugs more sustainable. There are ways to make to use the biology to clean up the environment, produce eco-friendly fuels, capture carbon, store energy in the battery, energy storage in batteries, et cetera, et cetera. And for the innovation to maximize their potential, of course, AI and other computational approaches will help as well. So, long story short, there will be more and more convergence between different disciplines.
Yeah.
And due to the sheer talent, as well as the research going on in the universities, as well as a cluster of companies across the state within 1 to 2 hours, all of that would converge and lead to the creation of new companies using the holistic view of different disciplines, therefore making the innovations more powerful.
And do you envision the same for the Mansfield Bioincubator specifically? So if you were to think about, you know, what's on the horizon for the Mansfield Bioincubator and its future, both short and long term, would you say that those goals and what's on the horizon for Massachusetts as a whole would be indicative of what's on the horizon for the Mansfield Bioincubator as well?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
For example, last week, the Healy Driscoll administration has unveiled a proposal to fund both clean tech and life sciences, $1 billion of each over the course of 10 years. So, of course, for these initiatives to succeed, Mansfield Bioincubator would be one of the key contributors, like any other incubator in the area. And to add, we already see some of these things happen at our incubator. For example, we have a company that using the AI discovery engine to design better drugs. And at Clarity 2, they use electrochemistry to destroy PFAS. So what I was saying is already happening at our incubator.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. You know, if our listeners are interested in learning more about the Mansfield Bioincubator, and I especially, you know, you have what I love is you have your news section, which you post all sorts of news about what's happening at the incubator and then also what's happening with those companies within the incubator. What is your website address so that they can mark it down and they can go to it regularly to learn all about what you're doing?
Absolutely. So our address is www.b as in boy, i as in iris, o as in oscar, i as in iris, n as in nick, c as in charles.org.
Thank you so much, Alex. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you and to learn all about the latest advancements and growth, not only at the Mansfield Bioincubator, but in the whole ecosystem of the Massachusetts life sciences community. And we want to thank you for your ongoing and great work in the life sciences sector and for your continued commitment to enhancing and growing the Mansfield Bioincubator and the Massachusetts life sciences sector. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Deborah.